Hi, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager. Welcome to the Fireside Chat. Otto welcomes you as well. Otto is awake, or was awake. It's a rare moment at a Fireside Chat, and we appreciate all the love that he gets. So, before I introduce a special guest, and by definition, you're a special guest because I have very few guests on Fireside Chats. So that's definitional to the term guest on this. I want to remind you that this is fundraising month for PragerU. Everything we do is free for people to watch. We touch many, many lives. And we need to touch a lot more lives because never in the history of America, or for that matter of the West, has there been such a threat to the West. Well, there was a threat to the West with Nazism and communism. So it's unique to American history. So we need your help. And we'd also like to invite you to subscribe, to watch, obviously, and subscribe to PragerU, because only God knows when some medium will decide that we're too intelligent, rational, kind, and loving of Judeo-Christian values for them to retain. Is that a fair way of describing it? All right, so before I introduce the guests, just an opening word here on the Fireside Chat. My column this week, and I'd like to remind you, I write a column every week, and it's available at Town Hall, at Daily Wire, at DennisPrager.com, at PJ Media, at World Jewish Review, or Jewish World Review, and many other wonderful American thinker. But I hope you see it. The column is about how big government squelches the human need to feel important. Everyone wants to feel important. That is a healthy thing. That is not a bad thing. And the bigger the government, the less important humans feel. Because big government squelches all the institutions, the non-governmental institutions that gave so many people meaning. Whether it's the Kiwanis Club, the Rotary Club, the Lions Club, the Little League coach, the Bible study group, the church group, as government grows, all of these things diminish. Also, as government grows, the more people become dependent upon government. You can't feel good about yourself if you're dependent. That's everybody's biggest fear, isn't it? That they'll be dependent when they get old. That's people's biggest fear. Why don't they fear it at a younger age, with regard to the government? It doesn't make any sense. So it's part of a line that I came up with many years ago, the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. We do become smaller in every way as the government gets bigger. So I always read comments, not just to my own articles, but to others. It fascinates me to see how people react to any given column. So I looked at the reactions on Town Hall, and one guy writes, well, Prager's completely wrong, or Mr. Prager, or Dennis, I think he said Prager, it doesn't really matter, or is completely wrong. Here's the list from the UN or some world forum of the happiest people in the world, by country. And he says, look at that. The top 10 country have big governments. So Prager should get his facts right. So it's one of the only times in my life I ever wrote a response on a comment to something I wrote. And I wrote, isn't this point meaningless? Every single government in the world is big. So the bottom 10 are also big governments. The point is pointless. Any countries you pick, the government is big. People don't, you know what that proves? It's a very, very difficult thing to overcome. And that is to cherry pick evidence to support your point. It's very hard to be intellectually honest. I have tried that my whole life. And with all the attacks on me, I really haven't seen an attack on my honesty. I have, you know, crazy Judeo-Christian values. I believe that there is a God. I believe in America. All these things are attacked, but I'm very rigidly committed to honesty. One of the ways in which I do it is to read things I don't agree with all the time. Then I see the opposing arguments, and then I see, well, wait, am I right or are they right? And I do this for every issue, and that has been a major strength in my life, to be aware of what others say who totally differ with me. I wish the left did that. They're completely oblivious to our arguments. That's why we win debates. We know all their arguments and they know none of ours. We read them, they don't read us. We study under them, they don't study under us. We watch them, they don't watch us. It's a big difference. Okay, so my guest is Amala Epenobi. Is that correct?
You got it.
Now, let me tell you, you're the first Epenobi in my life.
What an honor.
Amala is actually our newest PragerU personality. That's a very big deal, to say the least. And you're only 20 years old, but you have already made a name for yourself on the internet.
Yeah, somehow I managed to do that.
Right, you really did. What have you done that made us aware of you?
I started posting my conservative beliefs online, and it sort of took people by surprise, and it's blown up from there, and now here we are.
When I watched you and listened, it was obvious, it's not even a compliment. You certainly could take it as such, but it's just a fact. You were given a gift. I was too. It's just, by the way, gifts should be humbling, because when you see what you have as a gift, you don't take credit for it. But you can take credit for what you're doing with your gift, but the gift is unearned. You just got it. But you obviously have a gift to be that fluent.
Thank you.
With ideas and facts at any age, let alone yours. When did you begin?
I started posting online about 4 or 5 months ago, so it's been a very short ride so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just literally decided one day, I'm gonna put my thoughts on social media?
When I describe it to people, I sort of describe myself as a simmering conservative, and that's where I was last year. And by the end of the year, I had reached a boiling point, and I had to share my perspectives with people, and that's how it happened.
Now, you were not raised conservative.
No, not at all, actually. I was raised very far left for most of my life.
And what happened?
So my mother, who was my biggest influence, she's a single mother and I'm a child of three. She works on the left. She is an organizer and fundraiser for a leftist organization back where I'm from. And I always grew up with her values in my life. And she taught me sort of the leftist ideology ever since I was a little child. And I stuck with that up until about a year and a half ago. So now my perspective has changed.
Right. And what caused the changed perspective?
I actually started working for the left. I graduated from high school. I was 17 years old, and I got a job as a youth organizer. So I was going around to different middle schools and high schools and teaching people about socialism and all the different campaigns that the left was working on. And that was the biggest thing that challenged my beliefs, was going out and trying to sell that to people. And that woke me up. I realized it was wrong, and I left that organization and went down the tunnel of conservatism.
That's fascinating, and it makes a lot of sense to me. I've always said that it's the left that made me conservative. I started out not left, I started out liberal, and I have a lot of liberal values to this day. In fact, conservatives are the people who protect the liberal values, like free speech and racial integration and so on. But I totally get it. In fact, I wrote a column a long time ago, How the Left Keeps Me Religious.
Really?
Yeah, they're so anti-religious and so wrong and so harmful that I thought maybe there's really something great about religion if they can't stand it.
And that's funny. That's sort of where I'm at right now because I was raised atheist by my mother through most of my life. And now that I've sort of come to the conservative side and I'm seeing all this, I'm thinking that I need to delve into religion and start to sort of learn about it and see where I actually lie on the spectrum of things.
Yeah, well, that'll be a great journey for you. Did I promise you I don't want a yes. I'm not, no, I promise you I'm not asking it for a yes. Did PragerU play any role in your movement?
Yes. So, when I was working for the organization, I had a lot of questions that sort of challenged the ideology that I was teaching. And I had gone to my superiors, I had gone to the VP of the organization, and I had tried to have a discussion about it. And of course, it was not well received whatsoever. So I was sort of forced to go out on my own and look for answers. And I found PragerU. I found your organization's videos. And that was a big part of my awakening alongside of other A lot of other brilliant conservatives that I found online.
There are a lot of brilliant conservatives, but they are kept out of the public's view deliberately.
Yep.
And that has been true all of my life. One of the best examples, I don't know if you're familiar with him, Tom Sowell.
Yes, I love him.
Well,
Love
you
him.
should love him. I
Yes.
mean, Tom Sowell is one of the most brilliant economic thinkers of the last generation. He's black and he's conservative. So he's not read in colleges.
It's a horrible reality.
Horrible
Yeah.
reality. Anyway, so good. So I'm glad we broached that subject because that's the way it is. So if I ever get too personal, we'll just move on to other things, but if I may ask, how is your mother reacting to you?
So she's proud of what I'm doing. She's proud that I was able to use my voice to build a really strong platform and sort of broach the subject of having a career in it, but she's not proud of the subject matter and she's not really proud of who I'm working for. So we find our balance when it comes to that.
That's fascinating. I would imagine. Look, it must be painful to her. I if my kids were on the left, it would be painful to me. I mean, I'd still love them, but so I have some sympathy for your mother in light of this,
Yeah.
just for the record. When you say your mother is left, so were you raised to believe blacks are victims?
Absolutely. When I was a child, I specifically remember going to the grocery store or the movie theater with her, and she would make sort of offhand comments that, sometimes people look at us differently because I'm a white mother and I have a black child, and you're going to get sort of these grimaces or these really, really hard looks at you, and it's going to be in relation to your color. I just want to warn you that that's going to happen to you. And she would warn me about police encounters and other sort of myths in regard to the black community. And I harbored that for a really long time. And I thought that I was going to be victimized no matter what
So,
I
out of
did.
curiosity, you'd go to the movie theater with your mother. Did you get grimaces?
Not that I could notice.
See, that's the thing. It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Here, I'll give you'll love this example. So, I have stated that in my long life in America, all in America, I have never encountered personally, I've never encountered anti-Semitism. And yet we're told there's a lot of anti-Semitism in America. Okay. So, like, sort of, how did I miss them? Or better, how did they miss me? I am not a private individual, and
Exactly.
everybody knows I'm Jewish. So that's number one. So here's what happened. One day, a long time ago, I'm driving home from synagogue and wearing a yarmulke. And so are my two boys. And my then wife was in the car, and a bunch of young white guys passed our car and started screaming curses at us. F the F word, called my wife the B word, and so on. And then I said to my family, wow, I have finally encountered anti-Semitism. So that I wouldn't tell you the story if that was the story. So being who I am, I decided to follow that car. As fast as they went, I went that fast. I don't like to be messed around with. So I followed them. Sure enough, they did the exact same thing to a car filled with wasps. And then a car filled with, I don't know, Hispanics. They were just cursing everybody they wanted to. It had nothing to do with my wearing a yarmulke, nothing. So it reminds me when I would get black callers all of my career. You, Dennis, you don't know what it's like to walk in a black man's shoes. I said, look, I don't know what it's like to walk in another white man's shoes. The human being is unique. I don't know. Of course, I don't know. But what do you have in mind? He said, every day I encounter racism. So this is like, I don't mean it as a joke, but it's like a routine. So I would say, may I then ask, what was the racism you encountered today? Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, you know, the day's not over. Okay, what about yesterday? And he goes, I can't recall. Okay, any time in the last week. But they have no example.
That's so ridiculous. And it's funny because it's this sort of, it's self-regulating is what I call it. You teach people that they're victims and then you don't even have to prove it. They prove it themselves. They just go out and spit it out.
That's right. You want to see it. That is my point.
Yeah.
My grandfather came from anti-Semitic Eastern Europe. And whenever he was cut off by another car, he would yell, anti-Semite. And I remember thinking, I was like 8 years old, like, Papa, how do you know he cut you off because you're Jewish? Mm-hmm. Maybe he just cut you off because he cuts people off.
Exactly right. But you don't have to prove it anymore. No, you can just say
exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm convinced that all the racist hoaxes are because there is so little actual racism, they have to invent it.
Oh, absolutely. You hear these stories and suddenly they're plastered on every single news outlet that you find. And it's because they have to really shove it in people's faces to get them to believe that it's true. Otherwise, they would never encounter it. And that's my perspective on it.
Well, it's a good perspective. I am curious, are you happier as a human having moved away from the left?
Absolutely. And that was sort of the greatest thing that happened for me, is that you get this weight lifted off of you when you realize that the world is not pitted against you. You're not a victim because you're black. You're not a victim because you're a woman. You can create your own success. And the left is just does not want to believe that fact.
I've said that Charles Blow, who's a black columnist, New York Times, has written very often, that he tells his kids that whites have it in for them. Mm-hmm. Guy makes a very good living as a regular columnist for the Times, and he's on MSNBC. Those kids are truly privileged. And he raises them to believe this country has it in for them. I said, and I'm saying it now, I think it's a form of child abuse.
Absolutely. Because what success are you going to build for yourself if you constantly believe that your entire life? Waking up and becoming a conservative was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because then I realized I can go out and create my own success. Nobody's holding me back from that. And it gives you this renewed sense of passion, this renewed sense of fulfillment to go out into the world and actually do good. And people are being robbed of that by their parents. And it's really sad.
Very sad. So I'm going to now pose to you the only riddle I ever made up.
Okay.
This is my invention. What do you call a happy black?
I have no idea.
A conservative.
It's true.
It's true. When I get calls from black listeners all of my life and they sound happy, I know they voted Republican in
there
the last election. And I'm 100. It's been 100. And when they're angry, I know they're a Democrat.
Yep. It just goes hand in hand because they always have to have some form of enemy. There always has to be some sort of victimization going on. And it seeps into every part of your existence. It's so sad.
Totally. So why would, and I obviously, I only have affection for your mother. She produced you. So let me make that clear. And being a single mom is a challenge, and I give her great credit. I want that clear at the outset, in case she's watching. In case she watches.
I doubt it.
Yeah. Is that true? You doubt it?
Oh, yeah, she would never.
That is so fascinating. Well, all right, I'll leave that aside. But I, what I wanted to say is, so if you would say, Mom, I'm just not a victim of racism. The vast majority of whites couldn't care less about my color. What would she say?
She would say that I don't fully understand the extent to which it has infiltrated our society. She'll say you'll experience it one point, or they throw out the line that you're experiencing it, you just don't realize that you are. Which, how can you quantify that? How are you?
That's charming.
Yeah, and that's what really makes the victimization seep in really deeply, because even if you're not experiencing it and you don't have any evidence of it, people just tell you you are experiencing it, you just don't know it. How do you crawl out of that hole?
No, you can't.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, so you're right, there is no answer to that. So what will you be doing with PragerU?
So I'm going to be the new personality for PragerU, which means I'm just going to be sharing content that, you know, teaches conservative beliefs and values and hopefully reach some minds that are like me and get them to reevaluate.
Sounds good to me. No, you're very effective. You are gifted. How do your siblings react to you?
So,
are they younger or older?
I have an older brother who is 24, and then I have a younger sister who's 18. And they both lean left, but they're proud that I've been able to come out here and do this and get a job out of it, really.
Yeah, that alone. That's right, exactly.
That's kind of cool, right?
Right. You could have been a bouncer at a strip joint. You know, that's usually a man's job.
Yeah, that's true.
But you're right. I mean, getting a job, it's very sad. A lot in your generation are struggling.
Yeah.
Because of this disgusting and evil lockdown. I just want to repeat, it's not because of COVID, it's because of the lockdown. See, that's another thing. Isn't that amazing that we agree on that? We didn't discuss this before.
No.
But my assumption is that if I meet someone who is not on the left, they understand that the villain has been the lockdown, not the virus.
Oh, absolutely.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. It's interesting, but they'll sell it to you as health when really it's just a limitation of our freedoms. And
that's right.
That's how we're living right now. Yeah. And I always think about it in regards to the children who are going through this time. And I can't imagine at one point not understanding what's going on and at the same time having all of your freedoms restricted. It's got to be difficult.
When I see, I fly a lot. I'm flying this week to Florida. And when I'm on the plane and I see a 2-3-year-old with a mask, this is like child abuse.
Yep.
What 3-year-old has given anybody COVID? Really, anybody in this country? It's a big country.
Yep.
It doesn't happen. I mean, that maybe it happened once, but it doesn't happen.
Yeah, and they're being conditioned to fall into this new sort of new world order.
Well, oh, it is a new world order.
Absolutely.
That is exactly right. God, is it a pleasure to have you. Well, so how often are you going to do your thing?
Every day. That's what I'll be doing all day, every day, sort of, you know, talking about my passion. So I couldn't be happier.
What if you wake up in a crappy mood?
I'm still going to do it. It'll
all
make
right.
my mood better.
She passed the test,
We're still
everybody.
Going for it.
I love that. Is your roommate now familiar with what you do?
Yes, she is, and she's supportive of it, which I was very lucky to find somebody in California that supports conservatives.
Well, as it happens, this you should know, there are more Republicans in California than in any other state.
Oh, see, that actually surprises
because
me.
Because I know it does. It's why I mentioned it to you. There are a lot of us. It's just that it's such a gigantic state mm-hmm. that we're a small percentage.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of us. I'll never, you know, the last group you think of as Republican or conservative are blacks. The second to last are Jews. And I spoke at a synagogue in L.A. about 2 years ago, and folks, it is on the internet. I've never spoken to a more excited audience in all of my life. Thousands of speeches. You should watch it. How would people find it? Dennis Prager. Jewish speech, Los Angeles, something like that.
I'll link it.
Link it. I don't care if you're Jewish, atheist, Buddhist, you will love it. 1,200 conservative Jews showed up.
That is fantastic.
1,200 in L.A. They were bouncing off the walls. This exists. It's also not. It's obviously not a big percentage, but it's not uncommon to find black conservatives as well.
No, it's not. As soon as I sort of made my descent into the conservative world online, I found that it's way more common than I ever would have imagined it was going to be. It's just that the response is so tough to get through that a lot of them are not very vocal about it.
So tell me this. I've tried to figure out a lot of things in life. It's a big mission since I was in high school, understand life. Why would one want to think of oneself as a victim? It is so a depressed way of living life. What is the appeal?
I would really argue that nobody wants to see themselves as a victim, but it's so ingrained in our society that you really can't run from it. But one of the appeals is that you don't have accountability anymore and that you can blame your failures and your lack of success on other people. So it's sort of this balance that we run through and we live through in life.
You sure you're 20?
I'm 20. Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's exactly that makes so much sense. If the victim is not accountable, that's a very, very good point.
Yeah, the black community
don't
has a lot of
me.
Issues.
Don't blame me. I'm persecuted.
Yep. And there's so many issues right now that are so rampant in the black community. And it's so easy to just say, well, they're victimized and we can blame it on the white capitalist rather than really addressing the issues.
Well, all right, we're going to take some questions here. You know the format, right? You've seen Fireside Chats.
Yes, I have.
Great. All right, we begin with a question here. And here we go.
Dennis, my name is Brett Cooper. I'm 19 years old and I'm from Burbank, California. I was wondering what your thoughts were on the fact that the left is okay with and is even celebrating Cardi B's performance at the Grammys while deeming things like Dr. Seuss offensive.
It's a healthy question.
Did you see her performance?
Yeah, I saw excerpts, yes.
Okay.
Now, I am a libertarian on adult sexuality. Do what you want. I'm okay with it. Obviously that everybody is consenting. End of issue. But I'm not okay with it on television. I'm not okay with it at the Grammys. To bring the Grammys down to such a level. But her question is the key. Look at the sick world of the left. Having these completely sexual performances, just sex performances, essentially, with two scantily clad women doing their thing with one another, which if it's in a strip joint, pay your money, enjoy yourself. This is not a strip joint. This is the Grammys. I actually have a slightly different variation on her question. She's so right. What did she say, Dr. Seuss? Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's what they go after, but this is fine. It's a sick world. But I want to do apples and apples. They strenuously object to cheerleaders at NFL games.
Yep.
Which is Girl Scouts compared to the Cardi B performance.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And you try to wonder what the logic is behind
there
that.
There is no, it's not. The logic is just to destroy institutions that are appealing to the middle class. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, I haven't heard a valid argument as to why that happens, other than the men play the football and the women are cheerleaders, and that's somehow
wrong. Well, that's
wrong.
Right. That bothers them.
Yeah.
That's exact. But why didn't it bother them this? The men are watching this performance in the Grammys.
It doesn't bother them. It's somehow empowering. Somehow.
Empowering. Oh, I love that word. Mm-hmm. Yes. You're empowered. You.
I am.
That's the joke, because you do not see yourself as a victim.
Yep.
And same with me. That's exactly right.
We're empowered.
We are. That's the ultimate power.
Take the word back, right?
I'm sorry?
Take the word back.
Takes the word back. You're good. All right. Luke 17, Bountiful, Utah. Imagine growing up in a place called Bountiful. Doesn't that beat like The Bronx?
What?
I mean, think. Would you rather say I'm from the Bronx or from Bountiful?
Bountiful, yeah. It's like Celebration, Florida.
By the way, there's something worse than the Bronx. What was it? Yes. Oh, God. There's a place. Oh, yes. I think there's Intercourse, Pennsylvania. I'm from Intercourse.
Who would name?
Bountiful is the, I guess that's the result of intercourse. All right, we'll continue. Luke 17, Bountiful. Hey, Dennis, thank you for considering my question. You are welcome, Luke. What do you think, Otto?
He's snoozing.
No. Oh, is he? Yeah, he is. Okay. As you most likely know, Will Witt is coming to Utah, and I have been telling some of my friends that they should come with me. I, however, have been mocked and hated by those on the far left. What is the first step to stop the cancel culture? Well, the first thing to know is that's all they do is mock. They smear and they mock. They don't argue. That's a very important thing. It's a lesson for you to know at 17. The moment they actually argue rationally, they have begun their journey from the left. You cannot be on the left and not mock. Any comments on that?
Oh, I 100% agree. I always tell people when I started to research, that was the moment that I started leaving the left. And that's all it takes.
Oh, fascinating. It's right, because you were there.
Yeah.
Well, that's all it is. If I were 17 and my left-wing friend said, hey, Lo, you know what? There's a guy, a progressive, coming to campus. He's very popular. I would run.
Yep.
I would be so curious, just curious. They're not curious.
Yeah. They don't care to know.
It just occurred to me for the first, huh?
They don't care to know what your actual beliefs are.
That's right. But not to be intellectually curious is to be dead. What's the first stop to stop the cancel culture? Is don't let them stop you. Don't let them cancel. That's the first step. Anna, 14. Is he snoring?
Yes, he is.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, a timeout to relax with Otto.
Should really catch the snores on the mic.
They do, right? You're yes.
Okay.
I find his snoring so relaxing. It means things are okay.
It's like a cat purring.
Yes, but he snores longer than they purr. All right, Anna, 14, Huntington Beach, California. Should people be judged by their past? That is one great... That you at 14 would ask that question is a statement about you. The answer is, of course, we should be judged by our past. I have a great theory. It's called the moral bank account. Everyone has a moral bank account.
Okay.
Good deeds are deposits. Bad deeds are withdrawals. And then you look, are you in the black? Are you in the red? That makes sense. However, if you do sincere penitence, then we judge you by your present.
Exactly. It all depends on where you are relative to your past.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. The left doesn't believe in penitence. You said this at 17. You're now 46.
Exactly.
If I did something bad at 17, I'm now 46 and have led an honorable life between 17 and 46, then you judge 17 to 46. You don't judge 17.
Absolutely. Yep. That's
know,
all
isn't
it takes.
Isn't it, like, obvious?
Yes. But somehow it's not to a
no,
lot of people.
No, I know. Yes.
It's very straightforward.
Again, thinking clearly is also leaving the left.
Yes, it is. I'm certainly not who I was even 2 years ago. So I would hope that everybody doesn't judge me on who I was when I was 17.
Well, we do, but we judge you favorably because you made a very healthy transition. Should we just take Jan? Or should what?
Let's have you have questions.
Oh, if you have questions for me, yeah, but if you don't, it's okay. I mean, I'm happy if you do. Oh, you see, that's right. It puts, you know, like, what's the capital of South Dakota?
Yeah. You know,
whatever you might want to ask me. So, yes, by the way, you don't, you're on the spot. You don't have to have questions.
No, but I do. I've read about you, and I know you started your career very, very young. And one of the big things that you did was reach out to Jewish people who grew up in socialist environments. And I want to know how well you were received on that journey.
Well, I was received very well. Mm-hmm. My public life started at 21. I was sent by Israel to the Soviet Union, the then Soviet Union, to smuggle in Jewish items to Jews because they were not allowed to use them, just as Christians were not allowed to practice Christianity generally, and to smuggle out the names of Jews who wanted to leave, which was somewhat dangerous for them and for me, because if they got the names from my pocket or wherever I hid it, they would be in trouble. And no one could help them because their names wouldn't be known. It was a dramatic 4 weeks. I was sent because I knew Russian and Hebrew, and I'd learned Russian in college, and I learned Hebrew from elementary school. And I began lecturing on life in the Soviet Union. It was not many Americans had been there, let alone for 4 weeks, let alone who knew Russian. Mm-hmm. And that's how I began my public life. So I've been in public. I've had a public life since 21. I was very well received then in Jewish life because that was not a left-right issue.
Sure. And when did you start sort of speaking out about conservative ideology?
Well, okay, so this is not, nobody would know this except me, but it's an interesting little piece of data. I was very widely booked in Jewish life because I had written at 25 the most widely used introduction to Judaism. It's still in print. And that's a young age to write that
book.
Very
young age.
So I was in demand as a lecturer. Also, all the Jewish mothers wanted to set me up with their daughters. So it was like a side benefit and side motive to invite me. So I was, sort of a hero in Jewish life, became the head of a big Jewish institute at 27. But when I left that institute, I went on to radio, and gradually it became known that I was a prominent conservative. And the more American Jews became aware of that, mm-hmm. the fewer lectures I got in Jewish life, the more I got in general life. But and I say this only with sadness, mm-hmm. that the dismissal of a Jew who's conservative in mainstream Jewish life, like the dismissal of a Black who's conservative from mainstream Black life. It's identical. It is truly identical. And unbelievably self-destructive.
Yeah. We talk about horrible realities, and it's so interesting that people on all sides of the conservative life experience it. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish. It doesn't matter if you're Black. There just has to be, even though nothing that you're saying is violent, it's not hateful.
Well, that's all great. God bless you. I always ask them, Dennis, really, you mention your name among on the left, and it's like Dracula.
Yeah.
So I said, could you just tell me, ask these people, what has Dennis Prager ever said that is so awful? What position has he held that is so beyond the pale? And there's no answer. It's just...
There is no answer.
Yes.
You're only saying things to enlighten people and to make them successful and to make them go out and face the world and
well,
people
well,
don't want
to hear. Jordan Peterson. Why? He has helped so many people become better human beings.
Yep.
How could you hate Jordan Peterson?
But they do. Yeah. I experienced the same thing. You tell people that they're not a victim and you're a racist. And you're spouting hate speech.
Well, have you gotten Uncle Tom yet?
Oh, all the time.
You do?
All the time. All the time. Yeah. It's a standard response to anything that I say just because it's conservative.
Well, that's what I said to that the questioner earlier. You're not debated, you're smeared.
Yep.
This has been true since the beginning of the left with Lenin. His opponents were fascists, and that ended the issue.
Yep.
Stalin specifically. He would use that term. Well, if you have any other things you'd like to bounce off me, that's fine. And if you don't, that's fine too.
Since I'm entering a very similar realm to what you do, what is your advice?
Well, the immediate thing that comes to mind is something that I have been guided by. If you let the compliments go to your head. You will let the insults go to your heart. So don't let the compliments go to your head, and don't let the insults go to your heart. That's a very important piece of advice.
Can't say it better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you will get both. You've already gotten both.
Yeah.
So it's like people, this is a very common little thing in my life. People will stop me at an airport, a restaurant. Oh, Dennis, just want you to know I love you, which is very sweet. I'm very touched that they would say that. Anyway, you hear that all the time. And I go, well, actually not. Just Google Dennis Prager, a-hole, but spell the name. You'll get a few hundred thousand hits.
I'm sure, right?
Yeah.
It just comes with the territory.
Yes,
at this point.
Exactly.
It comes with the territory.
If people who love you think everybody loves you, and people who hate you think everybody hates you, people tend to think the world thinks as they do.
Yep.
It's a funny thing.
I've actually never thought about it that way, but it's very true.
Yes. Well, look, if I don't know more about this than you do, I've really wasted, you know, half a century.
Isn't that the truth? Yep.
Right. So, by the way, I open my life to you to any time you want advice or bounce a thought off me.
I appreciate
that. Anything.
I'm going to need it.
Well, it's to your credit that you know that. We all need it, but especially, there's no way. Look, you're so obviously a precocious person, but there's no way you could know the answers to all of these life's questions at your age. And I knew it. And you're, by the way, it's funny. When I was, I don't remember the year they gave the vote to 18-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
but I was in college. I remember that. So I was about that age. And I remember I had a girlfriend and I said to her, you know, why the hell are they giving me the vote? I don't know anything. And I knew more than most of my peers.
Yep.
I read the papers every day.
Yeah.
But I knew I'm going to choose president. I'm 20 years old and I know.
Yeah.
No, it was to know that you don't know is as important to know what you do know.
That's absolutely true. And nobody, it seems to be a culture these days to not say, I don't know. And we need to make that more normal.
They don't care about knowing. They care about feeling.
Yep.
Everything is feeling. Well, you are, you're a joy. You're a find. And I think it's a great fit, Prager, you and you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's an honor. I've loved everything that you do for a very long time. So I'm just happy to step into the shoes.
We're happy you exist.
Thank you.
Because you could do a lot of good.
I hope so.
And the country needs it. So that's great. Amala Epinobi.
Got it.
We work to change minds in the best sense, to open minds. That's a better way of putting it, because they're closed in the American educational system, unfortunately. And Amala is just a spectacular example of it. And how many more people like her can we touch? That's up to you, to be honest. Because the more that we have to work with, the more people we can touch. All right, everybody, help us out. And Amala, you're a joy.
It's been a pleasure.
Mine. We'll do it again. Otto, what do you think? That's what Otto thinks. See you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.